Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Energy as a weapon. How the Russians are coming for our NATO partners. I'm Shepard Smith. This is the news on CNBC.
A new tactic in Putin's war. Russia cutting off gas to two NATO nations. The fallout felt across the West. A U.S. Marine jailed in Russia for nearly 3 years, now free.
After waiting all this time, I'm going to be able to hug my kid.
Who the U.S. gave up in return, and the questions about the deal.
You got a standing ovation, he'll be speaker.
Kevin McCarthy faces his GOP colleagues for the first time since the leaked January 6th audio recordings. What we're learning about the closed-door meeting. Drastic action taken to survive California's drought. The new extreme and historic measure announced. Policing in Minneapolis, what a two-year investigation uncovered. A new push to prevent student loan debt from being forgiven. And
she turned the tide of history.
Honoring the life of Madeleine Albright.
Live from CNBC, the facts, the truth. The news with Shepard Smith.
Good evening. Vladimir Putin just turned up the pressure. He's unleashing one of the most powerful economic weapons in his arsenal, and he's issuing yet another thinly veiled nuclear threat as the U.S. and the West rush in heavy weapons to Ukraine. Russia is cutting off crucial natural gas supplies to both Poland and Bulgaria, both NATO allies. And Moscow is threatening to do the same thing to more European nations. This major escalation could be just the beginning. European Union leaders calling it flat-out blackmail. New today, the Pentagon confirms more than 45 American howitzers are now in Ukraine. And the first batch of Ukrainian soldiers has completed training on how to use the heavy artillery. These are new images of howitzers shipped out of California. The delivery as Putin sends this warning to any nation that tries to interfere with his brutal invasion.
If someone from the outside decides to intervene in current events and create unacceptable strategic threats for Russia, they must know that our response, our retaliatory strikes, will be lightning fast, quick. We have all the tools for this, the kind that no one else can boast of right now. And we won't brag. We'll just use them if needed.
Meantime, all-out Russia's assault on eastern Ukraine continues to seize more towns and more territory. Sky News correspondent Alex Rossi embedded with Ukrainian soldiers. They're trying to hold back the Russian onslaught.
Along forest roads and across farmland, Ukrainian forces race to fortify the Donbass. Every day brings new fighting, with Russian artillery hitting the small villages on the front line. Black smoulders on the horizon. Eventually, we reach Oleksandrivka. Russian forces are about 2 kilometers away, and it's now almost deserted. As we follow, the soldier tells us to use the trees as cover. There are drones above, he warns, and standing in the open here can get you killed.
This is where I landed today. The smoke over there, you can see the places that are being shelled at the moment, and then one just landed over here. Bistro, bistro.
He shows us a farm. It's too dangerous to go further, he says. It's just been struck. The family escaped, but it soon comes under attack again.
Let's go, guys, come on. Come on, mate, let's go.
Everyone good?
Yeah, everyone's good.
Yeah. Good effort, guys. Let's go.
Well, again, this place has come under attack. They've managed to get everybody out of the village, but we need to leave now too.
Millions of Ukrainians have been displaced or trapped by this conflict. The front lines are shifting here all the time. And as Russian forces advance, many villages, like this one, are now in the firing line. This war is now entering its third month. And as Ukraine reinforces its army in the east with fresh soldiers and new weapons, its army knows the next few weeks will be decisive. Alex Rossi, Sky News, Eastern Ukraine.
Trevor Reed, he spent three grueling years in a Russian prison. Today, the U.S. Marine is finally a free man. He's coming home following a prisoner swap between Moscow and Washington. The White House exchanged Reed for a Russian cocaine trafficker named Konstantin Yaroshenko. This is video of the actual swap happening at an airport in Turkey. There they are, the men walking past each other on the tarmac, like something right out of a spy movie, before they get on different jets to go their separate ways. Reed's parents say their son looked terrible and unwell, as they put it, in this Russian state video of him being loaded onto a plane in Moscow. While in prison, they claim Trevor Reed was coughing up blood and suffering from possible tuberculosis. They say the Russians put him in solitary confinement instead of treating him. Reed's parents just gave a news conference outside their home in Texas and described their first phone call with Trevor today.
He did not sound like himself. He was very subdued, and we were hyped up and all excited and kind of expected him to be excited as well, but he wasn't. So I don't know if it was just shock or if it was too early in the morning for him or whatever, but he was not his normal self, so that kind of concerned us. But later in the afternoon, we got a second phone call, and he must have eaten and had some fluids in him, and he was his normal self. But he was happy-go-lucky, and he still looks terrible, but he sounded better. He sounded more like himself. He was cracking jokes and talking.
More on Trevor Reed in a moment, but first, who is this man, Konstantin Yaroshenko? Federal investigators say he was a Russian pilot who plotted to transport more than $100 million worth of cocaine to the United States. Cops busted him in Liberia. He was serving a 20-year prison sentence in Connecticut. Russian state media showed this footage of the emotional reunion with his family. CNBC's Shamari Stone now on the years-long battle to free the American Marine, Trevor Reed.
Trevor Reed, a Marine veteran, was arrested in the summer of 2019, accused of assaulting a Russian officer. Authorities sentenced him to 9 years in prison. Reed and his family maintained his innocence, and the U.S. government described him as unjustly imprisoned. His parents have been advocating for his release, protesting outside the White House last month, calling for a meeting with President Biden. The Reeds were successful and described their meeting at the White House as the tipping point in bringing Trevor home.
I think it's going to really hit us when we get to put our arms around him and hug him.
In a statement, President Biden said, quote, "The negotiations that allowed us to bring Trevor home require difficult decisions that I do not take lightly."
Our objective, it was to take steps that we needed to take to bring him home, knowing his health conditions and know he's been held for too long.
Reed's parents say they have a peace of mind that he's free. They're now focused on helping him get his life back to normal.
Once we get him back home, we're kind of glad this is a summer, and it'll give him a little time. We know he's going to want to go back to college right away, and so, of course, we're going to discourage the summer semester and go for the fall, and then hopefully get him back on track to where he was headed before he went to Russia.
Reed's parents also said they will continue to advocate for the release of Paul Whelan, another Marine who is serving a 16-year sentence in Russia.
He learned about Trevor's release, and he said, "Why am I being left behind?" And it's a good question, and I don't think that there's a good answer for that.
People are demanding the immediate release of WNBA star Brittany Griner. She's been in a Russian jail since February. Now, Russian authorities allegedly found cartridges that contained hashish oil in her luggage. Shep?
Thanks very much. Shamari Stone for us tonight. Analysis now, Edward Fishman, former Russia and Europe sanctions lead for the State Department under the Obama administration. now a senior fellow with the Atlantic Council. Edward, this surprise prisoner swap, a one-off or a good sign for the others and future diplomacy?
I would view this as an isolated incident. Of course, we should applaud the Biden administration for bringing home Trevor Reed. And it's wonderful that he's being able to reunite with his family. But if we're viewing this as a sign for diplomacy in the broader Russia-Ukraine war, Shepard, unfortunately, I still think that the signs are pretty negative. I think Putin is determined to try to achieve some sort of victory on the battlefield by May 9th. But the Ukrainian military continues to put up a good fight. So I think the real energy right now is on the battlefield.
If not a sign, then I wonder why, you know, why this particular swap?
Look, I think that, you know, the United States can walk and chew gum at the same time, right? We're pressuring Putin over the war in Ukraine, but at the same time, you know, Russia had an interest in bringing back Yaroshenko. So sure. I think that, you know, this was a tit for tat trade.
And then there's the cutting off of the natural gas supplies to NATO allies, Poland and Bulgaria. You know, some of the analysts are saying this could spread to other European nations. What's your take?
I think this was a major miscalculation by Vladimir Putin. He was really trying to send a message to Germany today that if Germany wants to go ahead with an oil embargo on Russia, that they could suffer the same fate as Poland and basically have a gas cutoff. But I think he's going to achieve exactly the opposite. He's just going to encourage and incentivize the Europeans to continue to diversify away from Russian oil and gas. And I expect, Shep, in the coming days, or if not a couple of weeks, we will see a very significant move by the European Union to curtail Russia's oil revenues.
Edward Fishman, thanks for your time tonight. The Secretary of Homeland Security says he's expecting an influx of migrants at the border, and he's warning it will seriously strain an already strained system. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill grilled the Energy Secretary, or the Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, today over the Biden administration's border policies. The main focus is Title 42. It's a Trump-era rule that allows border agents to turn migrants away at the border over COVID concerns. It's set to expire next month. President Biden facing a lot of pressure to extend it from really both sides of the aisle. Today, lawmakers question whether the administration's ready for thousands and thousands of more migrants at the border each day.
We're about to lift Title 42, and I don't hear a plan to address that.
We do have a plan, and we are preparing and have been preparing, and we're implementing our plans.
They say part of that plan is to increase the number of federal agents near the border. A brand new order from a judge on this matter has just come in. Senior White House correspondent Kayla Tausche with that live on the North Lawn. Kayla.
Shep, it was the first of a trio of hearings scheduled to discuss a budget request for the agency, and it turned into a heated debate with the Homeland Security chief over the administration's policy moves to end the Trump-era policy, requiring migrants to remain in Mexico before their asylum cases are heard, and the future of which is currently in the hands of the Supreme Court. Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas says he's working in good faith with Mexico to run that program, but he described it as inhumane.
We received, for example, a report of more than 1,500 incidents of murder, rape, torture, and other crimes committed against individuals who were subject to the Remain in Mexico program. So we're working with Mexico to administer that program in good faith, as we are required to do under the court's order, and to do so in a way that reflects and adheres to our values as a nation.
On the controversial rollback of Title 42, a judge tonight issued a temporary restraining order that essentially delays the implementation of that plan for 14 days. There's been bipartisan backlash against lifting the public health restrictions, and amid a warning of a surge in border crossings today, Mayorkas acknowledged DHS lacks enough resources.
There is no question that if we encounter 18,000 people in a single day, that will seriously strain our capabilities. I just need to be clear in that regard.
In a 20-page memo released before the hearing, Mayorkas outlined the force DHS would apply to the effort. Customs and Border Protection's 23,000 agents added 600 to their ranks since February and are planning to deploy 500 more contractors to help. DHS is also requesting authorization for 600 more Border Patrol agents and processors. DHS is also adding transportation, medical, and housing capacity for this expected surge. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said today that the plan has been in the works for 6 months and is expected to be in place by the time Title 42 is lifted, though federal judges may delay that even further. Shep?
Kayla Tausche live on the North Lawn. Thanks. A new report on the Minneapolis Police Department discovers a history of racial discrimination. Tonight, the findings, the specifics of how officers treat people of color, who it says is to blame, and what's being done to stop it. Hundreds of thousands of Twitter followers lost by some, gained by others in the hours after Elon Musk's deal to buy the company went through. The word Twitter is using to describe the big swing. And allegations of abuse in the defamation trial between Johnny Depp and his ex-wife, Amber Heard. What Kris Jenner's boyfriend said on the stand, Chyna Black did to Rob Kardashian with a phone charger. And the police officers called to investigate who tell a different story.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
A police union in Michigan backing an officer who shot a black man in the back of the head during a struggle after a traffic stop. The union in Grand Rapids released a statement on Facebook just hours before protesters shut down a city commission meeting yesterday over that shooting.
Stop silencing our voices!
The shouts and chants forced the commissioners to cut the meeting short. The protesters demanded the Grand Rapids police chief fire and charge the officer. Earlier this month, police released these videos showing Officer Christopher Schur pulling over Patrick Leoya. They say his license plate didn't match his car. Leoya started to walk away, then he ran. The two struggled and landed on the ground. Officer Schur then shot Leoya in the back of the head while he was face down. In a statement on Facebook, the Grand Rapids Police Officers Association called the shooting tragic, but it went on to say, "We feel a thorough review of this entire situation will show that a police officer has the legal right to protect themselves and community in a volatile, dangerous situation such as this in order to return to his or her family at the end of their shift." An explosive report out today on the Minneapolis Police Department. The finding? Widespread racism. Minneapolis cops are more likely to use neck restraints against black people than white people. More likely to use chemical irritants like pepper spray on black people, and more likely to pull over people of color during the day when it's easier to see that they're black. The investigation by the Minnesota Department of Human Rights. They launched it nearly 2 years ago after then Officer Derek Chauvin killed George Floyd. The review found officers showed a pattern or practice of racial discrimination for at least a decade. For example, on those neck restraints, Minneapolis officers were twice as likely to use them on black people than white people in similar situations. The report also said a review of officer body cam confirmed many instances where Minneapolis officers used neck restraints against black individuals, including black youth under 18 years old, when it was objectively unnecessary to use such force. CBC's Perry Russum now on the changes that officials at the Department of Human Rights say Minneapolis police need to make.
The Minnesota Department of Human Rights finds that the city
and Minneapolis Police Department engaged in a pattern or practice of race discrimination in violation of the Minnesota Human Rights Act.
The Minnesota Department of Human Rights says the pattern of race-based policing is caused by organizational culture. It includes flawed training, emphasizing a military-like approach to policing, deficient accountability systems, and collective inaction from city and police leaders.
It undermines public safety, and it's been going on for at least the past decade.
In addition to interviewing officers, state investigators looked at 700 hours of body camera video, 87 hours of police academy training, and 480,000 pages of documents.
There is no place in the Minneapolis Police Department for bias or discrimination.
The report finds Minneapolis is 19% black, but 63% of use of force incidents and 78% of traffic stop searches were of black people. Minneapolis police have faced years of backlash for killing black men, including Amir Locke and George Floyd.
I am disgusted with the city of Minneapolis.
Ben Crump has represented both families.
The report finds that officers were using fake social media accounts to criticize anybody who was critical of them, including a city council member. In one case, an officer pretended to be black and criticized the NAACP. Shep?
Perry Russum, live tonight. Another setback reported today by Boeing. The reasons the company is giving for keeping its latest passenger jet from rolling off the line. And the drought in California turns to a historic crisis. Strict new water rules just announced. And the concerns about a dam that produces electricity for much of the Southwest.
We're here inside the Glen Canyon Dam, where extreme drought threatens to shut down these turbines that provide power for hundreds of thousands of homes in this region. Coming up after the break, the potential plan to keep things up and running.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
6 million people in Southern California now ordered to cut back on using water. The region is facing a historic severe drought. Officials there just declared a water shortage emergency for the first time ever. According to these new restrictions, people can water outdoors just one day a week. It applies to parts of Los Angeles, Ventura, and San Bernardino counties. The restrictions begin June the 1st. The water supplier in the region reports if cities don't enforce it, they'll face hefty fines. Record drought is straining water systems all across the Southwest. And now officials say it's also threatening one of the region's biggest sources of electricity. CBC's Valerie Castro live at Lake Powell near the Arizona-Utah border. Valerie.
Shep, Lake Powell is the second largest reservoir in the country, and 40% of the water here is supposed to end up in the L.A. Basin in California. But check out the water level behind me. The top of that white line in the canyon there, that's where the water used to reach when the lake was at capacity back in the 1980s. The dam behind me relies on that power to generate electricity, but now that production is in danger.
Years of drought have left boats high and dry over Lake Powell near Page, Arizona. City utility manager Brian Hill stunned by the sight of a dock now dangling in the air.
Normally we come down that way and you can see that now it's a cliff wall. And the fact that the water is down, we're like 30% of lake level, and there's tens of millions of people relying on this water in the Southwest, It's disturbing.
The drop in water threatens the largest power source in the region. Hydroelectric power produced at the Glen Canyon Dam is part of a collective that serves 5 million people across six states. 80% of that power is made here. Bob Martin is the deputy power manager.
Talk about the noise that we're hearing. What is that?
I always say that's the sound of money. The generators generate the power, and it comes to this transformer behind us, and it's put on these overhead transmission lines. It can go to Phoenix. It can go to, Las Vegas. It can go anywhere the connections are made.
But as the water level drops, it sinks closer to a dangerous threshold.
We're about 26 feet, 27 feet around that area of being away from minimum power pool. And that's the point where we can no longer generate power through the turbines.
In a proposed plan to stem that, a dam further upstream in Utah would release more water, an agreement made jointly by four states and the Bureau of Reclamation. If approved, 500,000 acre feet of water, or 163 billion gallons, would flow down to Lake Powell starting May 1st.
Is it sustainable in the long term to keep bringing a little bit more water down every year?
In my opinion, no, you're spending more than you're making.
But without water, energy production will inevitably go down and prices will go up, the precious resource trickling away.
How much of this is a climate change issue, a usage issue, a population issue?
It's probably all of the above. We can't ignore this any longer. Nature is just not giving us what we used to get, so adjustments have to be made.
And that proposed plan to release water from upstream still needs final approval from the Secretary of the Interior. Another plan would actually keep more water here at Lake Powell. It wouldn't be released from this dam, but that would mean less water for places like Arizona and California, where drought restrictions are already in place. Shep.
Valerie Castro on a beautiful afternoon in Page, Arizona. Kevin McCarthy facing the music, and it sounds like the choir is still singing. What happened inside the room when he spoke with Republican lawmakers for the first time since his leaked audio from days after the attack on the Capitol? And as we approach the bottom of the hour and the top of the news on CNBC, tears and laughter at the funeral honoring the late former Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright.
She could go toe-to-toe with the toughest dictators, then turn around and literally teach a fellow ambassador how to do the Macarena on the floor of the UN Security Council.
The battle lines on student debt are being drawn, and that's what's stopping CNBC on the Money. President Biden reportedly open to forgiving some student loan debt. Senate Republicans trying to stop him. Five GOP senators, led by the minority whip John Thune of South Dakota, introducing a bill to block the president from either canceling or further postponing student debt payments. The payment pause has spanned more than 2 years and two presidencies. The current one set to end in August, 2 months before the midterms. More problems for Boeing. The company disclosed today a net loss of $1.2 billion in the first quarter. Boeing taking huge hits related to delays on its Air Force One contract, plus sanctions on Russia and supply chain disruptions. Boeing also announced it pushed the first delivery of its newest passenger jet, the Boeing 777, or I should say 777X, by at least another year to 2025. Boeing stock down more than 7% on all that news. And Apple opening its do-it-yourself repair store. The shop is a place for Apple users to buy parts and tools and get step-by-step instructions on a number of Apple iPhone fixes. Apple reports it isn't offering tech support at all for the self-repairs, so if you open that iPhone, you might be on your own. On Wall Street, quieter today. The Dow up 62, S&P up 9, the NASDAQ flat, a day after its worst single-session loss since 2020. I'm Shepard Smith on CNBC. It's the bottom of the hour. Time for the top of the news.
Russian businesses trying to profit from American companies boycotting their country. Los Angeles police officers testify in the defamation trial between Johnny Depp and his ex-wife Amber Heard. The body cam video and why they never filed a report. But first, the highest-ranking Republican in the House of Representatives addresses the elephant in the room.
Kevin McCarthy trying to shore up support among members of his own party after leaked audio revealed he privately criticized the former president and his colleagues days after the January 6th attacks on the Capitol. Leader McCarthy met with House Republicans today in a private closed-door session. The Associated Press reports he defended himself over a remark he made to Congresswoman Liz Cheney, in which he said he thought impeachment would pass in the House and that he would recommend to President Trump that he resign.
One discussion I would have with him is that I think this will pass, and it would be my recommendation you should resign. That would be my take, but I don't think he would take it, but I don't know.
Leader McCarthy reportedly told the room he never followed through. His message today, stay on track and keep focused on the midterms. Heading into this meeting, there were a lot of questions that McCarthy could be at risk of losing the support he needs to become speaker if Republicans take back the House in November. But President Trump indicated he was with him. And according to some who attended the meeting, he's still a lock.
He got a standing ovation. He'll be speaker.
This is simply a distraction by the left trying to drive a wedge in a very unified Republican party.
Unified, they say, but inside the room, there was tension. NBC's Ali Vitale covers Congress. You're reporting that things did get a little heated, Ali.
Yeah, but not for McCarthy. Speaker, or the man who wants to be the speaker for the House conference, if they were to retake the majority in November, he did speak to those audio recordings. And as we reported, and as you just heard, he got a standing ovation and members left a united front on Kevin McCarthy. But for Congressman Steve Scalise, the House GOP whip, he did get into what one person in the room described as a very direct and heated exchange with Congressman Matt Gaetz over another audio recording that became public. This one over comments that Scalise made, that some of the comments that Gaetz was making after January 6th could have been illegal for what he was saying about other Republican lawmakers. Scalise and Gaetz had it out in the room, and then they also met one-on-one. I actually just in the last few minutes spoke with Whip Scalise about this. Here's what he says he spoke with Gaetz about when they met privately. Listen.
You know, ultimately, the concerns I had were that there were members getting death threats. And that was something that I surely wanted to be vocal at pushing back on. But he and I talked about that.
And look, this morning, Shep, when they had that House conference meeting, Marjorie Taylor Greene did say that Scalise should apologize to Gaetz. That's not something that happened in the room, but when I was asking Scalise about this just in the last half hour or so, he did say that when he spoke with Gaetz privately, he said something to the effect of, I'm sorry that those comments caused him problems. So maybe not a direct apology, but certainly he did land somewhere in that vicinity, even though in the room, what one person described to me was that Scalise was unyielding when Gaetz was talking to him about this, and that he wasn't letting Gaetz steal the narrative.
Ali Vitale live for us in our Washington newsroom. Twitter is trying to explain sudden changes in the number of followers for high-profile accounts. Some users saw a big increase, some a massive drop, all one day after Twitter announced a deal with Elon Musk. Take former President Obama as an example. He's the most followed user on Twitter. He lost more than 300,000 of those followers. Pop star Katy Perry, the third most followed. She lost more than 200,000 followers. Some right-wing politicians got an increase. The Republican Congresswoman of Georgia, Marjorie Taylor Greene, gained 93,000 followers by last night. And the Brazilian leader, Bolsonaro, saw his follower count skyrocket. Now, Twitter did not release an exact number of accounts that were activated or shut down after the Musk takeover announcement, but a company spokesperson says the fluctuations in follower accounts came from what they call an organic increase in new accounts being opened and closed. In other words, some left-wingers bolted and some right-wingers came on board. Tweet, tweet. Neither the cops nor the couple's doormen say they saw any marks or bruises on Amber Heard after Johnny Depp allegedly attacked her back in 2016. New testimony today. In it, two Los Angeles police officers said they saw no evidence at all of any abuse when they responded to a domestic violence call at the couple's penthouse. When Amber Heard's lawyers asked one of the officers why he didn't file a police report that night, he said, "We didn't see any crime." Amber Heard's lawyers pressed the officer about her alleged injuries.
Does it appear that there's an injury on Ms. Heard's face in this picture?
No.
You would say that doesn't evidence an injury?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't see an injury.
Well, the incident happened 6 days before Amber Heard filed a restraining order against Johnny Depp. She said she had a clear red mark on her face and that Johnny Depp did that to her. Amber Heard is suing Johnny Depp for defamation over an opinion piece that she wrote in the Washington Post. In it, she described herself as a victim of domestic violence, but she never mentioned Johnny Depp's name. Today, Amber Heard's lawyers also showed body cam footage of the couple's penthouse in the night of the alleged incident. Officers said by the time they got there, Johnny Depp had already left. They said no one at the penthouse, including Amber Heard, told them that her husband was Johnny Depp. The couple's former doorman also testified he didn't see any bruises or cuts on Amber Heard either. He says he doesn't remember any marks, but that if she had swelling, it would have been obvious. The couple's former agent also testified today. He said, now hear this, Amber Heard was dating Elon Musk while trying to reconcile with Johnny Depp. Musk's attorney says that Tesla and SpaceX billionaire will not testify. Heard's lawyers had listed him as a potential witness. Can you imagine that? They have quiet cars on some trains, right? But how about a mask car? The new petition making its way through one state now. And when Russian soldiers leave cities in Ukraine, in some cases the danger doesn't go along with them. So this guy is brought in to sniff out anything deadly left behind. The story of the war-torn nation's four-legged friend. But first, remembering the life and legacy of Madeleine Albright, the former Secretary of State and UN Ambassador, laid to rest today and honored by friends, families, and presidents at the Washington National Cathedral.
Today, we honor a truly proud American who made all of us prouder to be Americans.
She loved this country more than you will ever know.
In the 20th and 21st century, freedom had no greater champion than Madeleine Corbel Albright.
A woman who learned too early in life that life is fragile. Freedom can't be taken for granted. Democracy must be defended. Peace must be won. And there is no time to waste.
For decades, she was a nexus of the foreign policy community.
Today, we see in Ukraine all too tragically what Madeleine always knew, that the advance of freedom is neither inevitable or permanent.
With her goodness and grace, her humanity and her intellect, she turned the tide of history.
She didn't just help other women. She spent her entire life counseling and cajoling, inspiring and lifting up so many of us who are here today.
Mom's example meant much to me and my sisters. She said that if we or any other young women wanted to compete successfully with men, we had to make sure our ideas were heard. And that meant being willing to interrupt.
Let us honor Madeleine's life and legacy by being the indispensable nation she loved and served.
May her memory continue to be a blessing to our nation.
A a lot of major Western companies, including some familiar names like Starbucks, Mercedes-Benz, and Dove, announced about two months ago that they were suspending business in Russia. It was in protest of the Ukraine invasion. Now, Russian entrepreneurs are targeting these brands and other Western companies by filing trademark applications in Moscow. If those are approved, some Russians will be given the rights to some of the most iconic brand names in all the world, at least in Russia. CBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers has been investigating. Eamon, what have you found?
Well, Shep, these Russians are filing applications with Rospatent, which is the Russian Federal Service for Intellectual Property in Moscow. So far, it doesn't appear that the Putin government has approved any of these applications, but these Russian businesses are making a bet now that the decoupling of the Russian and Western economies since the invasion of Ukraine means they might be able to snatch control of these brands for themselves. Now, Eric Levesque is co-founder of the technology and intelligence company Strider.
Right now, we think that they're opportunistic entrepreneurs looking at the dynamics of this war and what the Russian government is coming out with and seeing what they can get away with, and also what could prove to be a long-term sticking point for them that gives them an advantage over their peers.
CNBC's search of the filings showed Russian applications for dozens of brands, including eBay, Instagram, Starbucks, Warner Brothers, Dove, and Mercedes-Benz. Now, none of the companies responded to a request for comment. These filings, like this one here, come in the wake of a March 6th Russian government order known as Decree 299, which essentially stripped away patent protections from countries Russia sees as unfriendly.
It does feel and seem to be a reversion of 30 years of gains that they've been working really diligently to achieve, basically washed down the drain.
Experts worry that these moves could set Russian businesses up to work with Chinese companies to pump real products into the global economy.
If any of these companies have their intellectual property rights seized and used within Russia, it is what it is. It's not a huge market to most Western companies. However, if that infringement can be exported, then the potential damage is exponential to these companies.
For now, Western companies simply have to wait to see if Vladimir Putin really wants a full-scale economic rupture with the West, Shep.
So what's the worst that could happen for these American companies? They're big employers here and all over the world.
That's absolutely right. A total economic rupture could look something like what we saw in Cuba after the communist revolution there, when the Castro government simply nationalized American company assets in the country and operated them themselves. Those disputes are still ongoing, believe it or not, all these decades later. But Russia is a much bigger country than Cuba and potentially has the economic powerhouse of China as an ally. So this would be on a much, much bigger scale than what we saw in Cuba.
Eamon Javers, live in D.C., thank you. You know, heroes come in all shapes and sizes. In Ukraine, one just happens to have four small paws and a tail. Ukrainian officials, they put to work a bomb-sniffing Jack Russell Terrier, and that one dog discovered more than 150 explosives left behind by Russian troops. His life-saving work and undeniable cuteness won the hearts of many in Ukraine and across the world. Aaron McLaughlin reports from the northern Ukraine city of Chernihiv.
His name is Patron, or Bullet, but in Ukraine, he's known as a hero. The pint-sized Jack Russell Terrier specially trained to sniff out landmines left behind by the Russians. Every day he's working, his owner Mihailo says. We met Patron on the outskirts of the northern city of Chernihiv, where they're clearing the area of the remnants of war. Ukrainian forces may have pushed the Russians out, but what the occupation left behind is potentially just as deadly. Unexploded ordnances and mines, too many to count. Patron helps collect them before detonation.
How many lives has he saved?
It's impossible to know, he says. One mine can kill one person or several people. Mihailo says he purchased Patron 2 years ago as a gift for his son. I took him with me to work one day, he says. He showed his skills. It was an accident. Now Patron is famous, with over 100,000 followers on Instagram, posts showing him hard at work or at play with his trusty stick. He's also known for comforting other emergency service workers who might be having a bad day. But sometimes, all the attention can be too much.
Oh!
Nothing a few treats can't fix before he returns to potentially save more lives on the front lines. For the news, I'm Erin McLaughlin.
Well, there's good news on COVID tonight, too. The United States is now out of the full-blown explosive phase of the pandemic. That's new today from Dr. Fauci. He told the Washington Post the country may face another wave of cases, especially as the virus mutates. But here's the important part. He says he believes we've built up enough immunity through vaccinations and infections to prevent another devastating surge. Many experts agree the worst of COVID is likely in the rearview. But the debate over masks, that's not over. Some customers are now pushing New Jersey Transit to make at least one car on every commuter train available only to people who want to wear masks all the time. Trains already have a quiet car in many cases. Now, some want a car in which everyone must wear a mask. Dozens of people have signed the petition for now. Jersey Transit dropped its mask requirement last week after a judge struck down the national mandate on public transit. From the I could have told you that file, video chats are pretty bad for brainstorming. That's the result of a new study published today in the journal Nature. It revealed when we're in video meetings, we're laser focused on the screen. We don't let our eyes and our minds wander as much. Experts say that stifles our creativity. Here's how the researchers conducted the experiment. They watched more than 700 pairs of engineers as they tried to come up with creative ways to either use a Frisbee or use bubble wrap. On average, those who met in person came up with 17% more ideas than engineers in video chats. A group of outside experts also determined engineers who met in the same room came up with more creative ideas. Olivia Rodrigo performed at New York's Radio City Music Hall tonight. The cheapest tickets we could find, $600 a pop. VIP tickets to Coachella were more than a grand. The cost to be entertained is way up. We all know it. And while some people don't seem to mind, we've got some hot tips on how to find a cheap seat. That's next. Yesterday it was a swan. Today it's a turkey. Wild birds attack. And why an entire neighborhood is now on notice. Inflation, it's now crushing fun. Ticket prices for live events are soaring. Floor seats at some shows are thousands. But after the pandemic paused live entertainment for nearly 2 years, are you willing to pay the price? Here's Sam Brock.
From massive music festivals like Coachella, back after sitting on the COVID sidelines.
This is like the next level. Everyone has the same mindset of just, we're here to have fun.
To blockbuster performers like Elton John and Billie Eilish. Fans are just happy to be back and enjoying live entertainment again. So much so, many are willing to pay a premium.
The one thing we learned over the pandemic was that people value live experiences more than almost anything else. I was asked pretty much every day, when are we coming back for 2 years?
So far, the numbers bear out the bump in demand. Concert ticket prices have soared almost 10% since 2019, with some events delivering major sticker shock.
It's $1,249.
Sally Yap has splurged on Justin Bieber tickets before, but she says resale prices right now are forcing her to take a wait-and-see approach.
The concert ticket is now two times, three times, or maybe even more than that, more than the ticket. And if somebody really wants to go, they're going to buy that because they want to see it.
Entertainment experts say she's right, with demand skyrocketing. But particularly for A-list acts like superstar boy band BTS, who enchanted Jordan Higa during COVID lockdown. Higa saw them twice recently, shelling out hundreds on seats.
They just brought me so much joy during the pandemic. I guess I'm willing to spend to see them.
Though there is a pronounced difference in pricing depending on the venue. With Polestar finding arenas saw a jump from $72 a ticket in 2019 to $91 in 2022. Theater and club performances had more modest gains or barely budged.
If we see gas prices staying high, if we see labor shortages continue, supply chain holdups, yes, prices will likely go higher.
And it's not just concerts. Tickets for live sporting events are also on the rise, especially with the NBA playoffs now in full swing.
Curry, a deep three, knocks it home.
According to SeatGeek, an average seat now costs $132, up a staggering 40% from 2019. So what can you do to try and save? Get on pre-sale lists to buy tickets before they hit the market. Look for smaller venues, which tend to be cheaper. And try buying day of when you can, letting you scoop up seats that haven't sold. But despite the steep prices, the return of live events is still music to many people's ears. For the news, I'm Sam Brock.
Blac Chyna allegedly punched and whipped Rob Kardashian with a phone charger. That today from a key witness in the multimillion-dollar defamation trial against the Kardashian clan. Kris Jenner's boyfriend, Corey Gamble, testified he saw Blac Chyna physically assault Rob, and that next, Chyna threw a chair at Rob's Kardashian's car. Then she tried to pick up a table. He's the only one so far to describe that alleged assault. Blac Chyna is suing the Kardashian family. She alleges they ruined her career and intentionally torpedoed her show on the E! Network by alleging she physically assaulted Rob. On cross-examination, Blac Chyna's lawyers questioned Gamble's testimony. They asked why none of the alleged objects she used to hurt Rob came up in his declaration from 2 years ago. He said he didn't know why he failed to include the details earlier and said, things happen fast and quick. It was a hostile situation. Yesterday, Kim Kardashian was on the stand. She said she had no memory of telling executives to cancel Rob and Chyna's show, but she said she did threaten to pull her own family from their show, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, if Blac Chyna appeared on it again. Kim K said, I will not go into a toxic work environment on my own show. I have the power to not to do that. The trial, set to continue tomorrow, lawyers are mumming whether Rob Kardashian will take the stand. A record-breaking and historic launch for SpaceX. NASA astronaut and mission specialist Jessica Watkins making the record books. She'll be the first Black woman to work long-term aboard the space station. And here's a live look at the ISS. NASA and SpaceX say that crew is currently in the docking process right now. We've had a lot of bird attacks. Showed you a swan wing down a wake-surfing man on Lake Austin yesterday. Now, another bird attacks an innocent bystander on a bike trail in D.C. Behold.
Wild turkey, man.
Can you help?
I'm coming now.
Trying. This woman using her bike as a shield against the turkey. Turns out it's a repeat problem. Authorities say for months now, wild turkeys have chased, attacked, and terrorized people in the D.C. area. Another turkey victim says this bird sent him to urgent care. On a D.C. neighborhood blog, he wrote that he got a tetanus shot and antibiotics after a wild turkey punctured his leg. A wildlife biologist who works for the district says he thinks one male turkey is responsible for all of it. Defending the broader turkey community, he expertly proclaims, this is not usual turkey behavior. See you Thanksgiving, bird. 45 seconds on a race to the finish. The Russians cutting off natural gas supplies to Poland and Bulgaria, two NATO countries. It comes as the U.S. and NATO allies rush heavy weapons to Ukraine. After 3 years in a Russian prison, the U.S. Marine Trevor Reed is finally coming home. Moscow exchanged him for a Russian drug smuggler in a prison swap with the United States. And Twitter expected to report earnings tomorrow before the bell. It comes after Elon Musk reached that $44 billion deal to take over Twitter. And now, you know the news. Of this Wednesday, April 27, 2022, I'm Shepard Smith. Thanks for checking in for the news without pundits, panels, or opinion. You've been listening to the CNBC podcast, The News with Shepard Smith. You can always catch us live weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, only on CNBC.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.